For those of you taking notes, I've changed once again the sermon title to a very creative title. It's called Psalm 19, Part 1, General Revelation. And it's all Aaron's fault, because she does the bulletin on Thursday, and either Friday or Saturday I change the sermon title after completing my sermon. But I'm going to read all of Psalm 19. The only introduction I'm going to make is something that C.S. Lewis said. It's the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. It's to the choirmaster, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless us, having read and listened to your word? May your word have great effect upon us, for we are in great need. In Christ's name, amen. One point this morning. God has graciously revealed himself through the things he has made. Look around. God has revealed himself through the things he has made. We see this in verses 1 through the first half of verse 4. And you'll see the poem that C.S. Lewis was talking about, the great lyrics that he noticed and described, and coming from the pen of a writer such as C.S. Lewis that sang a lot. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. When you look around you, especially when you look up, heavenward. And I read somewhere where that's the way we're supposed to look. That's why We're made erect. We're not made to be on all fours looking down. We're made to be on legs, and we're to be gazing upward to see this glory. As we do that, we are observing revelation, a revealing of God. No, God is not the things that we see, as some religions proclaim. But you learn something about Him when you see the things that He has made. During the day, we see the sun, that great light that rules over the day that Brian read from Genesis 1. And at night, we see the moon that rules over the night, and the stars, the starry host, the Milky Way, the constellations, the shooting stars. I believe there's a meteor shower coming up here this next week. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Charles Spurgeon said, "It is not merely glory that the heavens declare, but the glory of God. For they deliver to us such unanswerable arguments for a conscious, intelligent, planning, controlling, and presiding Creator that no unprejudiced person can remain unconvinced by them. Sun, moon, and stars are God's traveling preachers. They are apostles upon their journey, confirming those who regard the Lord, and judges on circuit, condemning those who worship idols." Don't you just love Spurgeon? That's why they call him the Prince of Preachers. This particular revelation of God in these first four verses is what in theological studies we call general revelation. Now, once we get later on, and next week, we'll talk about special revelation. So this psalm is a unique blend of part A, general revelation, part B, special revelation, and then what are we to do with both of them? And how do they relate to one another? How do they depend on one another? Theologian B.B. Warfield said general revelation is addressed generally to all intelligent creatures and is therefore accessible to all men. So all humanity, wherever you live on this globe, general revelation, creation, the handiwork, the skies, creation, and you can add in mountains and streams and nature everywhere, is screaming information about our Creator. King David observes such power in this general revelation of God through the creation that he describes it as though the heavenlies are actually communicating with us. And he uses language that would be as if it is verbalizing it. Just take note of the language he uses. The heavens declare. There's a declaration. When you see the sun move through the sky, when you see the stars at night, there is a declaration of the attributes of God. Every day, every night. He writes, "The sky above proclaims His handiwork." Last week we saw His fingers. Day to day pours out speech. I was thinking of a Scrabble game where you pour the little tiles out with words. We're not able to see it and put the words together without God enlightening us. That's special revelation. That's next week. But it pours out speech. And by God's grace, we comprehend what He is like. night to night reveals knowledge. Just think about the astronomers and the people that invented the Hubble telescope and what they learned from observing the galaxies so far away, and how knowledge is gained every time they look and observe. Well, that same knowledge is available to us. Maybe not the same knowledge, but a greater knowledge, actually. And then it says, and their words to the ends of the earth. You never thought there was that much just watching the sun go and the moon move and the heavens move across the sky at night. If you forget about that, just read these first four verses of Psalm 19 and be reminded of the heavenly preachers that are preaching sermons every day and every night about God's glory, because the heavens are declaring it every day and every night. Now, this next quote is long. It's one of the longest ones I've read in a while, but it's worth reading and hearing. And it's from a man named Herman Bavinck, and it's from his book, The Wonderful Works of God. And it's from a chapter called the General Revelation. And it gives us a dynamic overview of the comprehensive scope of God revealed in everyday life. Not just looking up, but looking all around us. The revelation which comes to us from the world, therefore, is not merely a reminder of a work of God, which He accomplished long ago. It is a testimony also to what God now, in these our times, wills and does. When we lift up our eyes on high, we see not only who has created these things and brings out their host by number, but we also observe that He calls them all by names, by the greatness of His might, because He is strong in power, and because not one of them is missing. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament above shows His handiwork. He covers Himself with light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of His chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds His chariots and walks upon the wings of the wind. Mountains and valleys are established in the place He founded for them, and He waters them from His chambers. He satisfies the earth with the fruit of His works, causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man. He brings forth food out of the earth and wine that makes the heart of man glad. Being girded with power, He sets fast the mountains with His strength and stills the noise of the seas. He feeds the birds of the air and clothes the grass of the field with glory. He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He makes man a little lower than the angels and crowns them with glory and honor and gives him dominion over the works of His hands. He's basically just quoting Scripture back to us about all the descriptions of God taken from nature and the normal processes of what we learn in scientific observation, but also from the prophets of the Old Testament. So if there is, and there is, declaration, proclamation, speech, voice, and words going forth about God every day and every night all around us, what are some of those words that we're hearing if God enables us to listen? How about power? Seen a thunderstorm lately? Or the waves crashing on the seashore. A few years ago, talk about power. We were 7 miles away from Mount St. Helens. And I don't remember exactly, but they said when it erupted, the flow of the gas cloud, they said it would have reached us in like 6 seconds and just demolished everything, the raw power of God and the natural world. Earthquakes, volcanoes, storms, hurricanes, tsunamis. Nature speaks of God's power. How about majesty? We've all been overwhelmed with a sense of God's majesty. And you look at something you see in nature and you're just in awe. And you get a sense of royalty and majestic and honor and something that is far above and beyond anything that humanity has associated with it. How about immensity? Just look through a telescope. I remember the first time I saw Saturn through a decent telescope. Pastor at a church we belonged to years ago, they had a big telescope on the church grounds and they had it fixed on Saturn one night, and I kind of wandered over there and looked in there and saw Saturn about that big and with the rings, and I went, oh my God. And it wasn't just an OMG, believe me. It was seeing that the heavens in fact did declare the glory of God. There is a sphere hanging in space, in blackness, I don't know how many millions of miles, hanging there, orbiting the sun. And I was amazed at the majesty and the power and the immensity of God. And all our solar system was just a grain of sand and the immensity of the universe. The night sky is declaring this to us. Grandeur, wisdom, beauty. And then one I read, I was struck by punctuality. You know, you can look up in a book or online years from now and find out when the sunrise is and when the sunset will be right here in Clarkston, Michigan, years in advance. Because what God has set in motion, with what Brian read, the days and the nights and the seasons, you can time it down to the second of when that sun is dropping below the horizon at any point on earth. That's God's design and power and punctuality and the things He has created. If He does that in the natural realm, think about His power when we're dealing with special revelation through His gospel promises. You think He's waiting back going, well, maybe. No, His promises are sure. His promises are yes and amen, Paul says. That's next week. Romans 1:20, Paul says, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. Now, Paul uses that for a different purpose. He uses it to show that humanity is sinful and their eyes are darkened and they're without excuse. And we'll come back to that a little later. James Johnston, in his Preaching the Word commentary, he says, literally every day gushes out speech like a fire hydrant. You ever seen the videos of the kids when they open up the fire hydrant on a hot day and all the kids are playing in the fire hydrant? That's what it's like for us right now. This afternoon, tomorrow, in Texas, in Arizona, New Mexico, when they say these days are so hot, 100 days in a row over a certain degree, it's pouring out speech, the heavenlies. If you're a believer, Johnson goes on to say, God has surrounded you with a hymn book. We as believers who have been born again and enlightened by the Spirit of God to see Jesus Christ, we have a hymnal every day. We have a reason to praise God every single day. We don't have to wait until Sunday. To quote Bavinck again, in the study of revelation, not the book, but of general or special revelation, our concern must be a concern to know God. Its purpose is not to teach us certain sounds or to speak certain words. Its primary purpose is to lead us through the creatures to the Creator and to cause us to rest in the Father's heart. And we thought theologians were just heady knowledge bookworms, right? The whole purpose of seeing God revealed to us is so that we may rest in the Father's heart. As wonderful and beautiful as the created realm is, the knowledge of God that it provides, the bad news is it's not enough to save you. Because this natural realm is tainted. It's broken. It's been corrupted through the sin of our first father, Adam. Death reigns. Not ultimately, but plants and trees and things die and rot. It's not enough to save us. Creation does not reveal to us God as Redeemer, Savior, and Forgiver of sins, the things that we desperately need in order to have a relationship with Him, the barriers that we need removed in order for us to rest in the Father's heart. Next week, we'll look at special revelation, that section of Psalm 19, and see its relationship to general revelation. But as a Christian, now we can go outside these walls and look up, look around, look down. We can look at anything in our scientific study. We should be the leading scientists in every field to see the glory of God and all the handiwork around us, whether we look at the skies or whether we look at the cells of plants and animals and humans. See, as a Christian, the general revelation of God offers us a daily opportunity to worship God. James Johnston says, if you're not a believer, you are responsible for what the skies above have been telling you since the day you were born. Let me read that again. If you're here today and you're not a believer, you are responsible for what the skies above have been telling you since the day you were born. You ought to worship God. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1:20, His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. Then he goes on to say, so they are without excuse. A few days ago, Gordon Ketty, a number of us are doing his Prayers of the Bible devotion. He shared a story of, he was a British writer, a very influential person in the 20th century, became a Christian later on and became a very influential Christian, Malcolm Muggeridge. But for years, he didn't claim to be a Christian. And he was observing something out in nature. It was very beautiful. This is before he became a Christian. And he was observed saying, in response to a beautiful thing that he saw, Gloria in excelsis Deo, which means glory to God in the highest. And it's like it had to be an evidence that God was working in his heart. When we look around, we see glory to God in the highest. Well, knowing what we know about Jesus Christ, knowing what we know from the Nicene Creed, that He's the light of all men, that He is the light of general revelation. He is the creator of the universe and of this earth. That He's the Word that created and the Word that became flesh and that was rejected by His own people and was crucified and buried, but yet rose again on the third day and now sits at the right hand of the Father on high. As we stand or sit before Him this morning, may our prayer to Him be the last verse of this psalm. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord.